You know what's cool about this, Sam?
What's that?
We know that there is, we don't always know, but every once in a while we know that there is somebody with a big smile on their face because they know that this is especially for them. Ain't that right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Max's mama knows that we are playing this, not the 100+ thousand people that are listening to us or a couple hundred. It's just for Max's mother.
I know that's right.
Big
morning,
Bill
Mom.
Love his fans.
Morning.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. And that means Max got a big smile on his face as we bring him in here. Now, we have so much to talk to Max about. I actually suggested when we were talking this past week, man, you'd be one of the few people we'd keep on for two segments. But I didn't really plan on that, but I think he thought I was going to try to do that because he's been here before and watched us pivot. Like, he knows what goes on behind the curtain with the Wizard.
Right.
So Max had to let it be known that, no, I can only say four. And then, listen, man, we're happy to have you. Good morning, buddy.
Morning, Max.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great now that we hear you.
We are doing fine. Did you reach out to Mom and tell her that we were going to play her song?
I sure did. You guys have got me some bonus points. She's listening right now, and I know she's smiling, so thank you, guys.
Oh, by the way, while we got you on the phone here, is there something that you forgot to say to your mom last week or some little message you want to pass on to her? We'll edit it out so the audience won't hear it, but if you want to tell her something real
quick. See, Greg, this you know exactly how to just keep me in good graces with my mom. So, yes, Mom, we love you. We always love you, and thank you for supporting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something like that. You know, I'll be over next week to cut the grass or something, or but remember when people used to go to the parents' house and put the storm windows in?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, I'll do that no more. Anyway, buddy, listen, we miss you, and thank you as always when you call up and contribute. And, of course, this was supposed to be the biggest event of the UFC fights, not just because of the card, but because of where it was at in the sphere. So give us a rundown on UFC 306.
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head right from the start. It's not necessarily about the card. It was about the event. And just it's the first live event ever in the Vegas Sphere. And I'm not sure if you guys have seen the Sphere, but it's obviously overwhelming. You see a lot of concerts. There's a lot of bands that play there. But the first live event, it cost the UFC $20 million just to do the event. That's what Dana White does, though. We saw him do it during the pandemic. He loves a challenge. When everyone says you can't do something, he goes ahead and does it.
Yeah. Whatever happened with that Fight Island? Whatever happened to that place?
He did do the Fight Island.
Right. But
he did. Go ahead.
But no, I was just saying, but he did it because it was the pandemic. The pandemic's over. So is it just like whatever all that money he put into that place has now been ripped out? Do you think? I mean, I don't know. We never got an update on Fight Island.
I don't know if it's ripped out, but he's like, okay, we don't need to do that anymore. We're global now, so who knows? But maybe they resort back to that for an emergency purpose, God forbid. But yeah, I'm not sure about what they do at the island now. But as far as the Sphere, he pulled it off. Now, I'm sure, of course, in Vegas, it's even better than what you see on pay-per-view. But just from a perspective from watching it at home, it was unbelievable. Between each fight, it was like they were telling a story of the Mexican heritage and the culture with all the fighting. It was unbelievable. So the Sphere was the show, believe it or not. And that's the first time ever because he always talks about how entertaining the fights are. And this was the first time the fights were not the center of the event.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with a guy we love catching up with, Max Van Auken. He is social. He is social.
He's been waiting for that.
You can always find him at Max_Van_Auken, Max_Van_Auken. Oh, all right, this is an event. And usually when you talk about UFC, one event takes place to set up what happens next. Usually it's something that happens during the course of the action, or maybe it's something that happens around it. What did we find out that's coming up next from this? Because that's usually what we always find out.
That's a great question. And thank you for that. I am social. That never gets old either. So three things. Two good, one bad. And it's not necessarily a bad, but Sugar Sean O'Malley was kind of Dana White's project of the next Conor McGregor. And so even though Dana says he doesn't root for anybody, he probably wanted Sugar Sean O'Malley to win. So the fact that he didn't win was something that stopped the hype train. Even though fighters lose and they can certainly come back, he probably wanted Sugar Sean O'Malley to win. So that was number one, the fact that he got destroyed. And two and three, we found out Conor McGregor news. So to take away from this, Conor McGregor is not fighting anytime soon. And his opponent, who's been waiting over a year or two, Michael Chandler has an opponent with Charles Oliveira, a rematch. And the third news, and this is probably the biggest of them all, John Jones, the greatest fighter of all time, no question about it, is returning at Madison Square Garden in November to fight Stipe. So those are some huge takeaways from last night.
Tell us about, and again, Max Von Auken joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We haven't talked much about the winner of last night's fight. And in bantamweight title, I can't pronounce this guy's last name. I'm going to try Duval Ishmwili. That's
we say Marab. We always just say we say the first name, Marab.
Okay, Marab. but tell us about this guy. And he, I mean, the guy felt like he just got paroled, and he was so happy to win, and just, you know, life was beautiful for this guy last night. I mean, we've heard plenty of fighters, you know, after they've won, say all manner of things, but this one was just a little bit different. But tell us about this guy and what's in store for him next.
That's a great point. Yeah, his energy, it's one of those instances where he's not necessarily a fan favorite. He doesn't talk a lot of crap where now he's getting a lot more active on social media, but he's just this talent, and he's that guy, he's the boogeyman. Nobody wants to face him because he does not get tired. So, you know, if you fight him, you have to put him away early. If you don't, it is just a very, very long night. The guy doesn't get tired one bit. He was running to the octagon. He was running out of the octagon, and he probably could have fought again. So I don't believe he's a superstar, and this is what confuses people. Just because you're really talented, you may not have that it. And so in order for you to be special, like Khabib, for example, didn't talk a lot of trash, but he put on a run of being unbeatable. And so if he can just continue to be unbeatable, which we've seen him lose in the past, so it could be hard, but if he were to stack up a bunch of wins, that's how you develop star power for a guy who may not have that it factor, who don't gravitate towards him. But as far as the talent and what he does, there is no question this guy is 100% legitimate. This was not a fluke. This wasn't, I don't know how this happened. No, he has put on a run like no other. And so I love to see somebody who just doesn't have to go the trash-talking route succeed.
My goodness. Now, Max, when do you get a chance to get out and actually go to some? You picked out one that you're going to try to go and attend?
Whenever they're in Florida, I always try to go. But now this year, I couldn't afford the Sphere this year. But the plan is that I always try to go to as many as I can, or at least like the MSG in November. That's actually something that I've circled on my calendar that I want to try to go to.
Let me just tell you something. It may not be ready for it now, but within the next 5 years, tops, maybe even three, he'll be going to those.
Oh,
and he'll be traveling on a private plane. From what I know about Mac, he'll be getting out there, and he'll be doing it. Like he'll be under the radar, but he will be that dude at events. And you go, "Oh yeah, I just got back from Daytona. Oh yeah, I was just out there at Wimbledon. Oh, I was over."
Yeah,
that's Max.
That's him.
Listen, we're gonna switch gears here, and thank you for the UFC stuff. But we can't let you not talk basketball when we have you here. And listen, we got two of the best basketball minds around, with you and Noel. And I'm not sure if, well, first of all, before we let you dip your toe into something a little bit different, tell our audience where they could see your work and what you got coming up next.
Thank you. So to steal the words from Sam, I am social. So on all social media platforms, Max Van Auken, you go ahead and check that out. I most recently just had an interview with Kenyon Murray. He's the father of Keegan and Chris. And it's probably the most unique interview I've ever done, because I was able to speak about Kenyon outside of sports. He talked about his marriage. He talked about even his faith. He talked about life as a basketball father and some of the things that you have to do just leading the family. So it was really interesting to get a perspective that you don't always hear, because obviously we all love sports, but he really approached it as a person. And so I definitely recommend people, if you're a basketball fan, or like I said, not even just about basketball, and you just love just to hear a good person speak, Kenya Murray is one of the best people you can hear. Tons of wisdom. I'll go ahead and check that out. It's on YouTube, just under Max Van Auken.
And the last thing, and I'm sure Noel may jump in here with a question to get your thoughts on, but we haven't talked to you since the rookies blew up the WNBA this year, and basketball is basketball to you, men's and women. What are your thoughts on this season in the WNBA?
Oh, I mean, the fact that we're talking about it as much as we are, I think, is such a huge win for the WNBA. And it's it's kind of mind-blowing to me to see people go back and forth and argue, is this person good for the sport? Is this person? And you got Angel Reese and Caitlin. I've never heard so many people talk about the WNBA before. So if you're the WNBA, that has to be a win. And so now it's just about developing these stars, staying consistent, and getting more engagement as much as you can. So I think if you're the NBA, you need to wrap your arms around Caitlin Clark, wrap your arms around Angel Reese, and there's plenty more, and just really embrace this, because this is the exposure they've been wanting for and just striving towards for so long.
I wasn't sure if you were going to jump in, or Noel, because I was just going to say, he's around these NBA players who are talking about the WNBA.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why, again, I was going to try and get his perspective. Noel, I don't know if you wanted to jump in or ask him, are you too busy for okay, no, she's in the middle of something. I thought she wanted to ask you a basketball question. Anyway, but yeah, it just the conversations that you have, not just amongst, you know, your friends and guys and all that sort of stuff, but these actual NBA players, as they talk about Angel and Caitlin and things like that, must be really interesting for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because they have that it to them. And I've been saying the word it a lot, but you don't really know how to describe it. And Greg, I think I've actually heard you say
that's
this
it.
Before. You don't always know what it is. You don't know how to describe it, but you know when someone has it. And I think that's, again, so many talented WNBA players. But these two people, and I specifically say Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, have that it about them, whether you like them or not, or you think it's great or not. They've just gotten the whole world engaged, and it comes up in conversation naturally. You don't have to say, have you watched the WNBA? It's one of the first things you want to talk about, and I think that's a huge win for the WNBA.
Yeah, now I'll give you a prime example of the it factor, this dude who sits right next to me. You know what I mean? Sam has that it factor. Now, you can find one person to say something bad about him, and there's something about his character and his personality that just makes you gravitate toward him. And, well, he's a little blushy now, but I always talk to you about that, man. You got Max, am I right? Noelle, if she wasn't busy, 100%. She'd come on and say the same thing. And there are very
100%.
Rare people who have it. It's like cool. You can't define cool. You just know it when you see it. People try to be cool. Prince never tried to be cool, right? He walked into a room and everybody else went, that dude is cool.
Yeah.
Max, listen, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks as always.
Great catching up, man.
Yeah, buddy, and say hello to your mother for us, and we look forward to talking to you next time.
Will do. Thank you guys so much. You guys are absolutely the best. Miss and love you guys, and you know I'm always tuning in.